A little idle chatter about the people that we know. And though it doesn't matter, is there a different way of saying hello?
You're listening to a podcast of The View, brought to you by the Church of the Larger Fellowship. To subscribe to this podcast, visit www.questformeaning.org or search for Church of the Larger Fellowship in the iTunes Store.
It's all about connections, tell you anywhere you go. A little unexpected and a different way of saying hello.
And we're live.
Hi, I'm Meg Riley.
Hi, I'm Bob LaValle.
And we are in Columbus, Ohio at the General Assembly. We're sitting at the Church of the Larger Fellowship booth. You can see our signage up there. See that? Not too well with the glare. But anyway, that's where we are. There's a map behind us where members can put themselves on the map to show where our 3,500 folks are members. And we're doing other cool stuff here, too. You can see people are here actively engaging. Hello, everybody. Hello. Yay! Yeah. Woo! Yeah, see, there we are. And so Hannah Eller Isaacs is one of our staff members, will tell you what people are doing over there.
Hello! I'm so excited to be on The View. A couple of things are happening in our booth. This is Mary Foran. She is a minister walking by.
You.
We're live on The View right now. If you want to say hi.
Yes. Just lean down. You have
to lean down and say
hello.
Hi, everybody.
There you go.
I'm glad to be here.
There you
good.
Go.
And always supporting the Church of the Larger Fellowship.
All right.
Yes.
Fabulous.
Thank you. Yeah. See you. So we have three really cool components to our booth this year. One, of course, is the opportunity to become a member or friend. You can find out more information about that at clfuu.org. The other one is if you're already a member or friend, or if you become one, here at General Assembly, you get your name put on our map. You can also connect with us on Facebook and request to have your name put on our map, showing our global community. You can see all those strings connecting to the tags. Those are all members and friends. We're so excited to have such a vibrant global community. We also have part of our community is actually folks who are currently incarcerated. We are sending a postcard to every single one of our 736 members and friends. We'll get a finished postcard to show to you.
Here, like
we are,
this. Woo, nice!
One of the things we know about General Assembly is that it is tiring and people need a place to sit and have some relaxation. Yes. And you can take a picture with our wonderful chalice tiaras here. So lots going on in our booth, and we hope you'll stop by and see us.
You're at the General Assembly. We're right by the front door.
So and I'm gonna stand up and let former moderator Denny Davidoff have a seat.
Somebody I once introduced as Madam Moderator, or asked a question as
and
Madam
I was
moderator.
Mad at the time, and it's still on.
All right.
Yeah, there's a lot to be
but
thought
it's
about.
Not just former moderator. How about former board chair of the Church of the Larger Fellowship?
Active awesome. Member, yep. And all around activist UU. How many GAs have you been to by now?
Of 900.
No, seriously.
Right. I started with the Council of Nicaea.
Right. That's what it feels like.
I started in 1968, and I think I've missed two or maybe three. So it's a lot.
It's a lot.
It'll be 50.
2018. Wow, isn't that
so
amazing?
So what is that? So this must be 48.
Wow. One right. of the things that's so true at General Assembly, I feel it more, this is my 30th, I feel it more every year, I was thinking about it this morning, is that there's so many ancestors with us, including Denny's husband, Jerry, who are no longer here in flesh, but are still so strongly in the room. You can, and I was thinking, you know, you think of ghosts haunting places, General Assembly is this weird event that becomes its own kind of place, and I was experiencing so many. I saw someone that I thought was someone and realized no, she's dead now, but she's here.
I was talking about this before I came over to the booth. I had a long visit with Jane Zepka.
Yeah.
The former, your predecessor, yes. The senior minister.
Yeah.
We were talking about that.
I'm going to sit with her tonight as she retires formally.
Right.
Finally. And we have the service of the living tradition.
I have, of course, a failed retirement. So
you probably
will someday too.
you are inspiring.
There's work to
quite
be
inspiring.
Done.
Denny, Meadville Lombard's booth is right across the way, and they have been staffing it wildly through the week and have some of the best giveaways in the exhibit hall, I have to say.
And the best education.
Well, yeah, there's that.
I'm competitive about that.
So the exhibit hall's the place to be.
It's great to be here.
Very cool.
It's great to be
here. Comes someone else for
great
me.
Great to have a grandchild.
Well, yeah.
Delegate.
Denny's grandchild, Jasper, is a great delegate.
Yeah. So,
Mom, can I
go now?
You can go now.
I want to get my milk and cookies.
We're going to
bring John Leaker, who's the archivist at Meadville.
Cool. Bob, can you join John? Because you can have a good conversation with him about Meadville archives.
Me too.
All right. It is always the wackiest episode of the year. So Bob LaValle returning to The View, and I'm so pleased to have my friend John Leaker here. John is the archivist at Meadville Lombard Theological School. John, what does an archivist do?
I take care of old things. I take care of our history. We have such a rich history, and it's so much more than the history we normally tell. Our history, it's Channing, Bigget, Emerson, Bigget, Thoreau. We just get this kind of rote narrative, and our movement is so much more than that, so much more diverse than that. So a big part of my job is helping give people the tools to preserve and access their history so that our historical memory represents who we are in all that diversity and complexity.
It's real. It's totally real. Oh my gosh, it's a concert. Aisha, find the guest and come up next.
How was your workshop?
It was great.
I'm beyond Aisha. So, so Meadville now holds a lot of the stuff that came.
Are you guys trying to go? Sorry. I'm gonna
come
back later.
Oh no. So Meadville actually has the old UUA archives now,
yes.
Right? So when did that happen? And what did Meadville get?
So about 3 years ago, when the UUA was moving to the beautiful new building, they had a basement full of archival materials. So Nicole Kirk, our professor of UU history at Meadville Lombard, and myself, we spent a weekend in the basement of 25 Beacon helping the UUA select documents that were historically important. And the big treasure that we got were the congregation files. So we have a file in every single congregation in the UUA. These records around 1930 to around 1980, and they provide an amazing glimpse into our lives as congregations, because where's Unitarian Universalism lives? It lives in communities, not in people's heads. And these congregational files allow us to see how our communities lived and changed and adopted for the better part of the 20th century.
So what does it mean when you pull your congregation's file from the Meadville archives and it's really thick?
That's interesting. So if you correspond with the UUA, you're either doing really, really good or not so good. So the thicker your file can go either way. Either way, it's interesting.
Right. All right. So was it thicker? It's interesting. More interesting.
Yes. And feel free to go to the Meadville website and contact me, because we provide this service for anybody who asks. We serve you. You're our community. So if you're interested in our history or your congregation's history, contact me. Go to meadville.edu and get a hold of us.
I can vouch for the fact that these guys are unbelievably helpful. John in particular, but all the library through it.
Yeah, we have an amazing library and archives staff.
Seriously. All right, one more question. If you have memorabilia from old General Assembly, we actually are at General Assembly.
Yes, we have these amazing buttons from past UUs and all the various swag that goes around. So old campaigns.
Anything random?
My favorite, during the early 1970s, the Gay Caucus was lobbying at GA to have an Office of Gay and Lesbian Affairs. And they would wear these pins that would say, "How dare you presume I'm straight?" This is the early 70s. Beautiful gay liberation, and it's one of my favorite pins because it speaks to the social justice work we do and how important GA is to moving our movement forward.
It's totally GA and Universalism at its finest and most creative,
yes.
Too. And you hold the records, that's so
yes,
great.
Get a hold of me.
John Leaker at go to the Meet the Lombard
yes,
website.
Yes, Meet the Lombard website is the easiest way to do it.
Awesome.
Thank you.
All right,
thanks, talking with you.
Talking to my brother. All right, who's up? Oh, come on in. Hi.
Hey.
Peter, nice to see you.
How are you?
Hey, Hank, do you want to jump in as a host? Okay, all right. It's great to see you.
So,
you've been on The View before.
I've never been on The View. It's my first View. Yeah. I am a longtime fan, first time in person.
All right.
So,
how's your GA going?
It is great.
Yeah.
So, I've been talking social media and membership growth with a lot of people, including the UU Membership Professionals, amazing organization at uuamp.org. Right. We were talking about the fact that because of the way people are connecting with our congregations online, trying to figure out what we're about, that they're actually trying to make sure that, you know, our congregations are a match for them, like be sure about it
right
before they ever visit in person, which means we need to greet people
differently. Right.
But
right.
The reason why I wanted to come on The View is because the most exciting thing happened to me recently. For years, people have been asking me, you know, in my work with congregational growth and outreach, it's like, Peter, we need to have our own version of TED Talks.
The TED Talks.
And I'm like, yes, absolutely.
Sunday morning.
Not me. No. You know, it's like, because we have Sunday morning worship.
Hey, Hank just suggested that TED Talks happen on Sunday mornings.
Yeah. So, so the conversation has been, well, we have Sunday morning worship. Was that not good enough?
Yeah.
And often, we've been assaulted by General Assembly, Exhibit Hall people.
General Assembly is a full contact sport, man.
No, the deal is, if we're in a world that's increasingly pluralistic, people searching for multiple sources and not going out, like, oh, I'm going to start my spirit. Speakers, leaders, thought leaders, their messages inside the wall, like this church wrapper,
right.
Our best asset is being hidden. So recently,
people who have great ideas who are
So we want to take the best of Unitarian Universalism and share it with the world in a way that's more accessible. Now, I am not a TEDx or TED Talk guru, and so I said, yeah, we need to find that. And so recently, a woman named Twinkle Marie Mannon, who is a longtime Unitarian Universalist, or maybe lifetime Unitarian Universalist, but she is a season and still now doing TEDx talk organizing. And she contacted me, and she wants to bring the knowledge of, you know, all the TED talk sensibilities. How do we the model to Unitarian Universalism? So we just launched a Faithify campaign. So if you go to faithify.org, you can check it out.
Here's the ask, folks. Here's the ask.
So,
we knew it was coming.
But we're also looking for collaboration. Can I tell you the model?
Yeah.
Real quick. I'm putting my coffee down.
All right.
So.
You got like 2 more minutes, Peter.
All right. 2 minutes. We are going to organize some events ourselves, like May and Twinkle, where we model, right, here's how we want to share ideas. We'll have these model talks. We're identifying speakers and putting on events where the media is produced. So, like, get the model, document how we do that. And so we have like the best example. Then we're going to, for congregations that are interested, share that model with them, coach them on how to put on an event where they identify the speakers, invite the community. You have tickets and sponsors that funds the media production, and they generate amazing talks. And then they share the final videos with us, and we distribute it through the UTalks platform. And we're going to do other crowdfunding to support our work. So we're basically
creating the channel.
We're going to mentor congregations looking for host congregations, speakers. And if you go to my website, uuplanet.org, and subscribe to my newsletter, as all the details roll out, I'll share it with you. So, the best of Unitarian Universalism, but without the churchy wrapper, baby.
So tell us again about Faithify. We're going to find that on Faithify.
If you go to faithify.org, it's the UU Talks project.
Awesome.
Thanks.
All right, thanks. Thanks so much. All right. Tom, you want to jump in here?
Sure.
Let's get you a guest, too.
Tom
and Hank.
All right. Oh, yeah. The two of us will come in.
We'll let you just let's change the faces.
Oh, thank goodness we're here. Meg's waving. So, how are you doing, folks? Welcome to General Assembly 2016, Columbus. It's like Tom's here and he's breaking stuff. It's like Law and Order. You know how they have like Law and Order Miami? This is Law.
This is The View Columbus. Bum bum. Oh, no, that's a different thing.
Dum dum.
Anyway, and we're here having a great time this morning. Were you in DC with William Barber speak this
yes,
morning?
Yes, I saw William.
It was great. Oh, we've lost our page. We don't know. We can't see ourselves. What have you done to us?
Oh, my God.
No, that's not us. Oh, thank God.
We're reversed.
Is this us in Australia?
I'm not even there. I'm not even on the show.
I think go to that.
Oh my God, I'm amazing. Oh, there we go.
I just came from the William Barber thing.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm this morning. It's just great.
CLF member, DC Yoga.
I avoided that.
And we had over 100. We were standing
alone. And I was spoofing.
I didn't know that. No one, we didn't have a mic for questions. We had everyone write stuff on index cards. It
worked beautifully. You had to write on index cards?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, questions. So no pontificating.
Do you actually have a question inside there from I'm sorry, I do expect to get paid for that speech.
Right.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Hank doesn't have that.
On the Dome of the Rock.
How was your day?
It's been great. And of course, you know, before that was Ministry Days.
Yes.
And which really was one of the a big part of Ministry Days is when all the religious professionals arrive, the musicians are meeting, the administrators are meeting, the religious educators are meeting, and then there are a number of events that we come together. And it's great for us to relax. It's a great time for us to come and to impress a bit too. So that's always great.
Oh, look, it's sunny.
Do you want to come sit here?
Yeah, you sit here, Tony. Sit here for a minute.
What is that crazy squeaking noise? What's that? It's because it's an old computer and it's a squeaking noise. It's me. I'm rusty. Where's my
voice? No, sit here. Oh,
we're live in person. Yay! We know each other for real now.
Yay!
Oh, what's that? Oh, he's back.
That's on mute.
We're having technical difficulties.
Doesn't make any sense.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Are there hamsters under here on a wheel? My good friend Tony Lorenzen, who's here. Tony is the minister of the Hopedale Unitarian Universalist Church in Hopedale, Massachusetts. Think of it as our own little cult that started its own town. And Tony is now the minister. 175 years later, Tony's the minister of this great church.
No Kool-Aid.
Tell us about your ministry days, about GA, about Hopedale. Tell us about things you're doing there. You've just finished your first year in Hopedale, and you had a great time, I know.
Had a good year. The church is doing a lot. A lot of people working, helping 800 folks with a community meal. We're part of a coalition that's going to make 20,000 lunches happen, replace kids' preschool lunch that they wouldn't otherwise get over the summer. Helping people do their laundry with the Episcopal Church in town. Everybody shows up to the laundromat and get their laundry done. Got money over there doing that. Doing a lot of advocacy work with our Union Mass Action.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Our state rep a lot about sentencing reform issues and all that stuff. GA has been good so far. We had a very powerful, very sweet lecture. And with all the good stuff that was mentioned there, one thing I was telling you earlier that really struck me was how every pastor is an actual pastor. There's always trauma and something going on in your people and in your church. Sure. We learned a lot at Berry Street about sexual misconduct going on in our churches and from our colleagues, and how it's been
in a previous generation, but how it is
right.
There are sometimes continuing on, but the fact that it is the impact of these events from 20, 30, even 40 years ago still impact our movement and the congregations where those ministers had served, and also other congregations where those members who had been in those congregations left and maybe gone to other places. So it's
One thing that impressed me was the metastructure of it. That if the UUA had not dealt with this and kept it quiet and didn't deal with it and it kind of got swept under the rug, that creates a UUA system that's not healthy and functioning. So then when our congregations, for whatever reason, are dysfunctional and not functioning, well, no kidding, we're part of a larger family that's not dealing with its stuff, so no surprise. So healing that will help heal all our congregations. As we get healthier as a whole, our congregations will get healthier.
Get Uncle Neil. Get Uncle Neil.
I will in a second. Yeah. Right, we're excited
to meet the
person.
Hey!
You want to say hi?
Say hi.
Come on
in.
We're on TV.
Hi.
I mean,
there we are! It's you! Okay, back a bit.
Okay, I get
you. You are so great.
All right.
Let's switch. You want to sit here? You want to sit here? You drive. I'll sit in the back seat.
All right. It's like a fire drill. Hey, folks, thank you for your patience.
Can we stop for ice cream?
We're doing a fire drill. Bob LaValle back again, and I'm so delighted to have a fellow seminarian, Monica Dobbins, with me, who's from who's at Meadville Lombard Theological School. And a thing that we share is we're just talking about what it's like to be a seminarian or a recent grad seminary and go to our first ministry days. So ministry days just wrapped up. If folks who don't know, GA is preceded by 3 days of ministry days. So how was that for you, Monica?
Well, in a word, it was overwhelming. There was a lot to see and do, a lot of new people to meet.
I met a lot of people
that I've only known through social media so far.
Totally.
So that was really amazing.
You know, the really funny thing was, like, I thought I knew a lot of ministers, but as it turns out, like, I went to ministry day, I don't know anybody.
Right. Exactly.
You're the greatest people. It's an easy group. I didn't give you a chance. Where are you? Where do you live and where are you interning right now?
I live in Birmingham, Alabama, and I'm interning at our congregation in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, which is about an hour west of Birmingham, home of the Crimson Tide. But I try to avoid all
Tide.
Football.
I have no idea what I'm saying.
I'm a graduate of Alabama, and so it's nice to be kind of back home. I'm a graduate of the university.
So what was back to ministry days, were there any parts that were particularly meaningful or particularly surprising for you?
I guess without saying that the Berry Street lecture was it was an honor to be in the presence of someone with so much courage. You know, we talk about prophetic sisterhood, and I kind of have a historical perspective on prophetic sisterhood, but to be the first woman in ministry from my family, and I come from a family of ministers, so to be the first woman in ministry in my family,
first woman in her family,
and then to hear that kind of prophetic witness from a woman in our tradition is incredibly powerful to me.
I think I need to, for folks who aren't familiar with what happened, the Berry Street Lecture is the country's oldest annual lecture series, and it happens every year between GA and Ministry Days, and it's a UU minister, and this year there was Reverend Gail Peavy, Gail Peavy, who talked very frankly about ministerial sexual misconduct in our own ranks within UU churches. And it was powerful.
Yes. A lot of people were left.
Yes!
It's always exciting here.
And there's also a lot to be said, and a lot of things that haven't been said for a long time now coming into our consciousness in a way. in a way that it's not about keeping secrets anymore. It's about talking about these things and being honest about it.
Just the path to healing, right?
Yes, exactly. You know,
it's not always true, but there is a saying that we're only as sick as our secrets, and I think this is an area where we really are. So, any other things that really stuck out for you from ministry days? I'll tell you what, Vespers worship.
Vespers worship. Yeah, no, not at all. The Vespers worship was really wonderful. I'm still sort of chanting in my mind, bouncing in my mind.
And tell people about it. Like, what happened?
So that there was a lot of chanting in the worship, and one of the chants that we did was a Kundalini chant. It said, "Bountiful am I, blissful am I, beautiful." And we didn't do it two or three times. Over and over and over, maybe 10 or 15 minutes. I don't know. I lost track of the time. But to just kind of internalize that message in a moment when many ministers are finishing their church year and maybe not feeling so bountiful and blissful.
Yeah, it was so healing.
Yeah, exactly. It really healed a lot.
Yeah. Thanks for coming out, Monica. Hey, it was so great to see you.
Yeah, super fun.
Yeah.
Thank you.
One of my favorites here. So, all right. Oh, Carrie, come on, sit down. Right now, just come sit down.
Carrie,
it's so good. All right,
Come, welcome to the View.
We're live on the View.
Hello. Carrie Cosby is our Lorena Executive Director, Administrator.
She's got to be closer to that.
She is going to be three-quarters time starting July 1.
Can you slide forward a little bit?
Carrie, how has your GA been?
Oh, GA is the best part of the year. Every time. And I haven't been for a while, so I'm really happy to be here.
You have to use your outside voice.
I have to use my outside voice.
I don't have an inside voice. So I need to encourage folks to, so you love GA every year.
I love GA. I love the youth. I love the exhibit hall. I love the worship. I heard you had a workshop that was out the door, 200 people in a room.
It was 200? Oh my goodness, it was standing room only. It was on conflict. It was super good. So look it up afterwards. I know, don't avoid it.
No, right?
I was punching people. No, I was not. And you know what we did? No microphone. We did index card questions.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So is that, it wasn't recorded, but
it was recorded. Not video, but sound. But I'm saying we didn't use microphones. We as a group, the four of us who led it, made the decision not to allow question and answer time in the way we usually do. We handed out index cards. People were invited to write questions as they thought of them. So it made for a different, people were then invited to listen instead of listen to get up and give their speech slash sermon slash diet.
So you set it up for success.
We set it up for success.
I'm curious to know, if you don't mind me asking,
no.
How did it come about that you four decided to do this workshop or to propose this workshop?
Right. One of my goals in Laredo, one of the things I've learned being in Laredo the last, I don't even know, 14 years, and I love Laredo, is
the way that is, let's say that what that is.
Liberal Religious Educators Association. We have ordained, lay, so please join.
Supportive.
We are a collaborative group. And I've learned that bringing forth the lessons I learned as a religious educator at General Assembly, in addition to, not just beyond, but in addition to the multi-generational stuff that people expect of religious educators, is important. So last year I did a workshop on leadership, and one of the things that came out of that is the importance of handling conflicts. Because I went from New Jersey, where I grew up and living in, I've lived in many places. The hardest move for me was Seattle, because folks are, I've experienced.
Wait, is this an interview?
Would you please, I've experienced this conflict avoidant, passive aggressive, and I came in, Miss Jersey Arab self, like, this is what I think and why. Hello, and all I did, people were just going into their shell. So I realized, I said, GA would be a good place, because I think other folks have this issue too, to present a workshop on why conflict is important, because from conflict can come growth. And if we do it in a healthy way, we're living out our values, learning how to live as a pluralist group of people. And how we do anything is how we do everything. And so learning and working through conflict is one of the most important ministries that we can really live out to the world and to each other.
And it's one of the most important things we can do. And that's why. And so, and I enjoy actually doing workshops that I think are maybe missing. And the religious educator lens, I feel, is a unique one. Because we are tasked with every single week being responsible for an entire group of people doing things correctly. Think about that. Right?
I remember the Sundays that I used to preach. I'd be like, oh my gosh.
It was easy. I mean, I don't mean it's not easy. Not easy.
There was less to pay attention to.
It was
a lot less to pay attention to. A lot fewer things to go wrong. But we do get boots on the ground, feet in many different places.
Every week. So yes, yeah. Preaching is a different, it is, it's not easy. I meant it is less to think about. It is much more, yeah.
So you had,
go ahead. No. They're just going to have a little conversation.
Yeah, where's Linda behind you?
Go ahead. Good.
We had Reverend Natalie Fenimore.
Yes, Reverend Natalie Fenimore, Megan Henry, and India Harris. So we had a youth voice, Good Offices Loretta Board voice, that's Megan Henry, and the Reverend Natalie Fenimore, who has an extensive, she was a religious educator for 14 years before she became a minister. So,
President Loretta.
Former president of Loretta. So, yeah.
Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting. Well, I'm so glad. And I think I'm really excited because I would like to invite people to propose workshops next year along those lines.
Yes, please propose workshops. And coming from different lenses, if you are the musician, and talk about negotiating how you choose music, or maybe have a collaborative workshop, and that's the other one, how to collaborate.
Yeah.
How to be in community. So, yay! Thank you! I think Bob's waiting back for his chair.
Yeah, let us jump in. Yes,
thank you, View.
Yeah.
Nice to see you, too. I'm taking my note right
here. Do you want to interview Charles?
Yeah, I don't know Charles. So we'll Charles DeMond. Okay.
He's on the board.
Oh, he's on the board of the CLF?
Yeah.
Sit down, Charles.
We sat next to each other at CLF worship last year.
Was that? That's right.
We're old friends now.
Oh, okay. Hey, I want everybody to meet my good friend and old friend, Charles DeMond, who just reminded me how we know each other. So, but it's through the CLF.
Yes.
Oh, great thing. So what are you doing now?
Besides sitting with you?
Well, you know, that's not a full-time job.
So I came from a workshop where I took the admonition to sort of challenge yourself to go outside of your religious comfort zone.
Okay.
But it wasn't really that challenge because it was Reverend Scotty talking about Christian Unitarian
Universalism. Yeah, I read that book when he was on the show here. Yeah. How was it?
I got to sit next to interesting people and we got to share. So he had us sort of take six Christian ideas.
Uh-huh.
And there was sort of a ringer in the mix. But, you know, how do you feel about crucifixion? You know,
uh-huh.
Which of these are you most comfortable with and what are you least comfortable with? And the sixth one was Christianity as love as envisioned by Martin Luther King. So guess which one the Unitarians resonated most with?
And crucifixion, probably resurrection. What were the six?
Now I'm trying to remember them all. Right?
Okay.
I am the path of the life.
I am the way, the way, the life, the truth. Right?
Jesus is the Son of God.
Yes. I heard you. Yes.
Yeah. How do you feel about this? Let's go through yours now.
I was president of the UU Christian Fellowship for a couple of years. So, you know, I worked out my stuff around Christianity quite a bit. So, you know, but go ahead, tell me the other.
So
we have two, three. The way of life, the truth.
Tell me about Zeus.
The Son of God. Love, Martin Luther King.
Resurrection.
Resurrection.
He's got it. I mean,
virgin birth?
No, we didn't do virgin birth.
It's really not.
The problem they didn't stick is because they're for me, unfortunately, because, you know, all these things where Jesus is special, and then Martin Luther King. Okay, so okay. I have a lot of things where I think Jesus is special, but I don't think that Jesus is extra special. Right?
Do you think modern UUs would actually kind of put Martin Luther King as more special than Jesus?
Yes. Don't you?
That's an interesting question.
Yeah, let me ask you a question.
You missed the window.
Okay. Answer, man.
Because, I think the challenge for people is that, you know, so many Unitarians try to be well-read, so they have this whole understanding of Jesus as
his activities and characters is all being defined 60 years after his death, at least, right? And then created in a way that weren't exactly recorded, whereas we have direct recordings of what Martin Luther King did. So he's more approachable and realistic.
He's more realistic, yes, yes. You know, and he's more approachable. Yeah. And he speaks to a moral landscape that we're completely, that we're more familiar with, right? And Jesus speaks to a moral landscape, which is, you know, we need to translate ourselves into that moral landscape where, I'm getting told I can't touch my beard anymore.
Professional.
Or cover my mouth.
One more question. Because the last challenge was, what can you do to connect with more conservative Christians, given your belief system as a Unitarian?
I you know, that's not a big thing for me. Because I just go, well, I got to believe all those things.
But most
people, in my own language. My belief is that Christianity, it lives in union with it in the social justice. Hank is pulling me out of here. I think the duck comes out and says you guys are too dull.
I'm guest hosting The View now. This is awesome. This is Ian Gary, who works with the Partner Church Council. I just came from worship with the International Unitarian Universalists. Ian was there. What do we need people to know about our international work in Partner Church, Ann?
All right, so I think it's really important. I've been with this movement for a while, and Tony, you're being introduced to this, and you're going to go visit your partner church for the first time.
Yep.
We heard a lot of stories.
We did.
And so, Tony, what do you think the main through point of all of those stories was, and the message that we can bring to the View and our audience here?
The thing that struck me the most was all the stories we heard from the Philippines, from India, and from Hungary, from Czech Republic, and from Romania and stuff. What they all had in common is they were all about things that we're all dealing with. You know, we heard about the conservative church who invited the Hungarians over to sing Christmas carols, but they really wanted to sign on to anti-gay legislation. And the difficulties about getting people to really support the unseen and needy in their community, like in India with the orphanage, and people just needing to connect with each other, and how people in the Philippines were, you know, just building community among themselves. We started learning about the need to organize that on a more national level in the Philippines, which is great. And all these things are stuff we all recognize from church right here. And people are doing the same thing all over the world in different ways, in their own setting, in their own culture. And the more we learn about those cultures and what they're doing, we can learn from them how to do things here. I mean, one of the things
that's the operative word, okay? We can learn from them. Because it's fine to say that we can learn from reading stuff and from being preached at or whatever, but it's really different when you're talking to people one-on-one, when you're in their lands or when they're coming to you and you can hear their individual stories. And the Partner Church movement is about an invitation in to have one-on-one contact. So that takes it the next step. And I think this is so critical for our faith and to realize that our faith can embrace some different views. As we like to say, David Barron said 500 years ago, you don't have to think alike to love alike. And if we can embrace that love and be in contact one-on-one, man, we'll make a difference in this world. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely. The thing I'm looking forward to most going to our partner churches, they have a lavender farm.
There you go.
And I'm trying to tell a congregation about we need to do entrepreneurial income-generating ministry instead of just sending some cash to Transylvania that might help them with something else. I'm actually going to learn about how do you make money in your church to help things get going? So, that's
all right,
great.
Guys, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks for coming out today. Nice to meet you. Walter Clark.
Woo-hoo! Bob LaValle here again. I coordinated for our next guest, Walter Clark. Walter Clark is a recent graduate in our class. Mipo Lombard. Walter Clark has many ribbons. So, and Isha Hauser is Rachel Drozeling. She's Drozeling Walter. Wow, it really kind of works, actually. Anyways, all right, Walter. So Walter's down at First U in Richmond, is that right?
I'm currently a member of the First Unitarian Universalist of Richmond,
okay.
where I was also an intern for 2 years.
Right.
I'm now getting ready to start a second internship at the Church of the Peninsula in Newport.
Right on, Andrew Millar. Right.
Andrew Millar, awesome right. dude.
So Walter's been down with Reverend Gene Pupke. And so Walter, you just came from a workshop about Black Lives Matter's banners, right?
Right. A lot of churches seem to be having issues right now with what to do with their banners, whether or not they can get coalitions of the willing to actually elect to put them up. And a lot of times when the churches do put them up, they suffer a lot of consequences from the neighborhood and the communities at large with banner defacement. And just
everybody gets vandalized, right?
Everybody gets vandalized. It seemed like the ones that we had instances of, we had lots of instances of vandalism. But the really heartbreaking stories came from people who spoke about having churches who wouldn't even have the vote, who refused to have the conversation,
right.
and would even threaten to leave their congregations if the banner was placed up. And I can only imagine the pain that some of these members of color must have been feeling to know that something that was so important to their lives was being discounted. And people would say, well, then I'll leave. Well, why would, then you're inviting these people of color to leave. You're negating their lives. And the thing that really came out for me in this.
So did you see that in Richmond or?
In Richmond, the leadership in Richmond was just awesome. We had so much support. The argument was less about do we put up a banner, but how big?
Right on.
So Richmond did a lot of work, and they have a great program called Living the Pledge. That's a program that helps to give white allies tools on how to fight systemic racism.
Is that just within the church program, or is it larger?
It is currently within the church, but it's a curriculum that's starting to be spread out. In fact, there's a class at 3 o'clock today at GA where you can learn about Living the Pledge.
I did not plan that. Moment of self-promotion, but there it is. So Living the Pledge.
I'm not in that one. But the great thing to see about the discussions we were having is that it is the job of white allies to take the burden off of our members of color to talk about white privilege. Oftentimes, members of color, when they talk about it, we have people who can perceive them as being angry black people. And we want to understand. It is.
And also, and then you're putting, you're imposing the burden on white folks doing their own work, right?
Like we said in the class, black people have known that their lives have mattered for thousands of years now. It's the white people who need to get on that bandwagon.
Amen.
So
preach, preach.
But preach.
This is helping them give tools, helping them to call out when they see it. And one of the things we have to remember, when we have members of color who come to our congregations, they're not coming to educate the white people. They're coming for their spiritual home. And it is our jobs as white allies to give them as much spiritual nourishment as we can and to take as much as that burden of educating white people from them as possible.
So how to behave as a congregation.
This is just starting at GA. This is the first day. Imagine what's going to happen by the end of GA. We're going to solve racial problems.
Speaking of, actually, Leslie McFadden is here, so I'm going to give you the boot. Thanks for coming out, Walter. All right, I love that. It's even better. All right. Thank you. That was Walter Clark.
Awesome. Oh, I'm going to take that. Hello! Leslie McFadden is coming from Black Lives of UU! How is your GA going? How is this going?
So far, so good. We had our reception yesterday. It was amazing. We had like 60 Black UUs there, and it was really
amazing. Number? Do we know how many folks are registered under or
I don't have the data. I know that we
Look you louder.
Oh, louder!
Watch this meter. Yeah.
Okay.
Louder, Aisha.
We can go louder.
I'll try.
I can't be as loud as Aisha. I don't think.
I don't have an inside voice.
Oh, so anyway, so I don't know the exact numbers. We will have that after GA, but I know that we did. about 70 Black UUs that we that registered with us and that we helped get here in one way, shape, or form. So.
Excellent. And you think they're feeling supported? Because that's what I was worried about, wanting to absolutely create an environment where there is clear support.
I think so. I think the healing space is going a long way to doing that. And we have quite a few of them staying in housing together, which has been really amazing to see, you know, multi-generational. We have two houses with nothing but Black women in them.
Oh,
I'm so jealous just personally, because I'm not staying in one of those. Whatever. Yeah, so that all of that's been going really well.
Can you talk about the Black Healing Space?
Sure. So we have a Black Healing Space. We have two amazing Black ministerial staff, Amanda Weatherspoon, who's from California, and we have Pastor Danny Gibbons from Minneapolis, and they're here to staff that space and just be there to connect and to help any issues that come up spiritually, emotionally while Black youths are here. And then independent of that, the space, we have music, we have games, and we have art therapy, or we're doing kind of a communal mural. And
give a pitch for closing ceremony.
Closing ceremony, you definitely don't want to miss it. We are spearheading it. Carlton, Reverend Carlton Smith is a producer of the extravaganza. We're doing it a little different, so it's going to be really
Woo!
Cool.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next.
Oh, you want to talk?
Yeah, I'm going to be
It's there. Erica Hewitt and Tom Chan.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everyone.
Hey, this is Erica Hewitt, who's like runs the worship web and has a ministry about weddings in Maine and also serves a congregation in Maine. She has a lot of stuff, but she has a new project she's talking about. So tell us about it.
The new project is called Braver Wiser.
Braver Wiser.
Braver Wiser. So the tagline is a weekly message of courage and compassion for life as it is. I have handpicked seven leaders in our movement, mostly ministers, to write a weekly reflection and a prayer. And it's uua.org/braverwiser. And you can sign up to get this in your inbox starting in about August, probably on Wednesday.
So it comes in your email.
Yeah, I know, and we know, and it'll be on Worship Web.
And a little inspirational message.
A little inspiration, but for real life, because it's not going to be all unicorns and fairies and glitter. It's going to be life is hard, life is complicated, and you need a little bit of courage and a little bit of wisdom to get through.
Well, that's great. Did you come up with this idea?
I've been pushing it since they hired me as worship leader.
Really? Yes. Okay.
Yes.
But it's who else is on it? Who else?
The great Jake Morrill.
Oh my God.
Reverend Jake Morrill. Reverend Maureen Kaloran.
Okay.
Robin Tanner. Daniel Gregoire. Marisol Caballero.
Okay.
Teresa Honey Youngblood, a religious educator. And Sean Parker Dennis.
Oh my God.
That's me. As the editor, I get to also write. So there's a team of eight people. So. Braver, wiser.
I'm signing up because I need, you know, a little encouragement about what. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because I, you know, I sit in a home. Okay, we're done.
Our time is up. Bye.
Sign up for it. UUA.org/braverwiser. There you are.
Do we have you?
Hey, should I hold them up? All right, we're gonna have to like go forward and kind of squeeze together, get all three of us on here. All right, so just make sure you can see your face.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to lean in. Hey, folks. So guess what? GA is not just like Burning Man for elderly white religious liberals. It actually, young people do come to GA. And I'm so delighted to have two new friends who are here at the Church of the Larger Fellowship. So introduce yourselves and tell us where you're from. Speak loud and make sure.
I'm from Chicago.
I'm Emma and I'm from Michigan.
Awesome. So why General Assembly? Like, why are you here?
Well, it was my rite of passage year, and I was kind of interested. And it's closer to my home this year, so we decided to come meet my family.
Awesome.
A lot of people in my church were talking about it, and it seemed really
fun. Oh, did you come as part of your church?
Yeah.
So, how many people from your church came?
I don't know, like five.
Five is pretty good. What church is that?
North Shore Unitarian.
North?
North Shore.
Oh, North Shore Unitarian. Yeah, we all know that one. Right on, right on.
What church did you come to? Did you come as part of a church group or did you come on your own?
I kind of came on my own, but a lot of people from my church are here.
Cool. Can you tell folks what the rite of passage is and how that works?
Well, at my church, you write a credo statement, and you kind of, it's your eighth grade year, and you learn about, you kind of learn more about what you believe in, and you explore your beliefs and learn more about yourself.
Wow. A credo, I love that. Can you actually recite your credo, or is it really long?
No, it's very long.
Don't recite it. Okay. All right. So, what is it like to be a GA when you're showing up at your age?
You meet a lot of people.
Really?
You meet a lot of people.
Do you connect, are you able to connect with other you? Is that like,
oh, yeah, easily.
Really? What's the best way to do that?
Ask them where they're from, what their name is.
So if you see somebody who doesn't have gray hair, like, you, I want to talk to you.
Yeah.
That's super awesome. Is it like awkward at all sometimes? Aside from being asked to be on the view at the last second?
No, everybody's really
yeah.
Oh, that's really cool.
Nice.
That's really cool. Do you have any advice for any other young person who would want to come to GA? Like how to prepare or what to do?
You don't really need to come with friends. I thought that you needed to, but you can make friends easily.
Oh, that's really cool. Oh, did you guys just meet at GA?
Yeah, we just met yesterday.
GA friends! Woo! This should be like a secret handshake or something for that, right? Awesome. How about you? Do you have any advice or?
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks so much for coming on. So I asked these folks like 2 minutes ago to do this. They just said, yeah. So you guys are really getting you. Give me the rock. All right.
Thanks.
Nice to meet you. Enjoy the rest of the GA.
Nice to meet you.
All right. Next up is going to be Hank and Skylar.
All right.
Excuse
us for a second. Hey, it's Hank. Whoa!
Hey, I want my creepy.
And I am very excited to have with us the Reverend Skylar Vogel, who is who is about to do something really, really exciting. Why don't you tell us where you are and what you're about to go and do?
Yeah, so hi everyone. I'm Skylar. I spent the last 2 years in Waukesha, Wisconsin, which is a sort of semi-rural, semi-suburban congregation in Wisconsin around Milwaukee. And I just got called to a Fourth Universalist Society in New York City.
I used to work there. I was the CRE. I did. You're laughing. With Rosemary, the Reverend Rosemary Ray McNatt. She was the minister and I was a dairy. We were fierce. Yes, we were.
It was a very loud church.
It was a very loud church. Oh, go ahead.
We have a lot to talk about.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And I'm so excited for you and really excited for them. It's a great, great place. I mean, what are you looking forward to? In moving to New York City and leading this congregation?
Yeah, so word on the street with this congregation is that they are the youngest age-wise congregation in the association. So it's a church in some ways almost run by millennials. And it's in a great city in the world, and it has resources that allow millennials to actually build the church in the 21st century. So we get to experiment with that, play with that, and see what that looks like.
It's such a great... So originally it was the Church of the Divine Paternity,
yes,
which has like...
Yes.
You should get t-shirts that say Church of the Divine Fraternity and then cross out and say 14.
Do you know about the mural? There's a mural of Jesus washing the feet of the poor on the chancel. Chancel. It's huge and it gets covered up most Sundays because, you know, Jesus.
You heard the story about the halo around Jesus' head.
No, tell the story.
So there's a halo around Jesus' head in this mosaic, and apparently it wasn't designed to be there, but they were cleaning it, and the person who was cleaning it was Jesus, he's kind of his virgin, and he started with Jesus' head, and he started going about it, and then he realized that he was actually bleaching the tiles. And so there's this impromptu, mistaken halo around his head now, and they can't get rid of it, of course, because...
Yeah. That was the work of
markers,
Jesus,
you can get
really.
Markers.
No. That was the divine, like, Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
That to me is just, I love that.
Exactly right. It's like divine intervention.
Here's a funny story about that. Maybe somebody told you. Recent years, they were having trouble finding non-young adults to serve on the board. That's hilarious.
That's great. Well, yeah. I think one of the churches I serve, lots of young families, lots of people who hadn't been in church. We felt like we needed to import some elders who just had some sort of wisdom about like how do you do that sort of stuff. Right. So that's great. What a great thing. And you're up there, and you're on the street, where like the great Easter bonnet. Walk is right.
Easter parade, the marathon. I don't think the Easter, that maybe it is, but the marathon goes through there. It is a super fun place to be.
And also the Thanksgiving, Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade is some of it is filmed from there, and you're always seeing the church there. And so I'll be this coming November looking for you, like in the crowd and just kind of like running around.
I'll be waving and
exactly as we want.
Yeah.
It's a great place. You're gonna love it.
That's really really fun. And what else? Like, you know, I'm so overjoyed that you're going there. That's a great church. It's so great that you're gonna be that you will be there. So that's a big plus. What else are you looking forward to?
I think being in New York.
Where were you raised? Can I ask?
I was raised in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So yes, we do have to talk because East Coast culture is very different.
I've heard.
Listen, we don't have time to be super polite. We have to get places fast. So we're not being rude. We just don't have time. Okay?
I was impressed by New Yorkers when I got there. There's almost like a sense of like, because we know that they'll never see you again. Like, they don't care. They want to see you. There's no expectation of relationship.
No.
In Wisconsin, you might be stuck with them for like the rest of your life if you talk to them.
And we just don't have the time. No, it's
all right. Oh, speaking of time.
Speaking of rude, time.
Bye!
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So we're
going to
go.
We're going to go.
Tom's going to
sit down.
Tom is going to sit down.
So this is just the regular.
Okay. It's just us.
Five. Oh. 5 minutes left. So yeah, this is the 150th episode.
150th.
Final view of the season.
And attendance figures will be put out later about how many each of us made. You know?
Yeah, can I just say, we apologize to any of you who are listening to this on a podcast in your car. You've been having to like turn the volume up and down and like crazy stuff and people screaming.
That's why I have that thumb thing on my steering wheel.
We're gonna fix that before we upload it.
I would actually suggest watching it because it's a lot more entertaining.
I know, because we're better looking than we sound.
Yeah.
It's the end of the year, folks, and we got 4 minutes. What were your favorite episodes from the year? Do y'all remember anyone that really stands out for you?
Robin DiAngelo.
Yeah, that one was really great. All the ones from Black Lives Matter. That was a really good, second year innovation improvement for the show. Leslie Mack is always such a great guest, she's quick, she's funny.
Yeah. I'm hoping to have a better computer this year, so I'll actually be able to stay on longer.
Hank kind of coming and going.
I really loved, I'm remembering this because it was recently, but Nate Walker talking about cultivating empathy.
Yes.
I don't care about that.
Orlando, I just didn't feel it, the empathy thing.
Remind me, so many people come out on the show.
So many episodes. It's all blurred. June 25th is the 23rd. Is that? Oh, the rabbi.
Yeah. Arthur Waskow.
Was that Cheech or Chong?
No. I put my foot.
Slap that man.
That's so rude.
It's so rude. That was a great episode.
We should have the brainstorm right now. What are the shows that we'd like to do next year? We have all summer now to prepare.
Oh yeah.
Why don't you send in your recommendations of people
we should try to get Melissa Harris Perry. Who can do that?
I'll make it happen. We've always tried to get musicians and we have not.
We got Meg Barnhouse.
That's okay. I have Meg Barnhouse. Yeah.
We should try to get Glenn Thomas from Ann Arbor. He has a great story.
Amanda Thomas. She's an awesome musician in Chicago.
The woman from, I'm blanking out her name.
That's great. Anyway,
That was terrible.
Oh, the book Revolution.
Do you know one of the
more musicians with live performances?
Yeah,
I don't like. No, Is I want to hear from them. People can always YouTube live performance. I'm sorry. I just.
Call me in.
We could do that. It's not up to me. This is not up to me. I don't make decisions. I'm just.
Meg makes the decision.
Asia and I are. We're big picture. We're not the detail people.
Right.
Last words, everybody. Last words. Let's go around. We'll go from left to right. How about?
I can't tell the
I will start. A great year. It is. I love doing The View. We're hoping that next year at GA in New Orleans that we're going to have like a live show where we we'll be on a panel, and we'll have you all in the folks in the audience coming and speaking to us, and maybe have some folks offline as well.
Doing that. I love that idea. All right, I just want to. The View is, you know, as a young seminarian, like, I don't know anything about anything. And the View has been so helpful for me as a way of understanding our faith in a more deep way. And I mean, I know we're totally clowns, you know, except for Tom and Asia, we have no credibility. So,
hey, wait a minute, just because you mean you, wait a minute.
But this is a really important way to understand the vibrancy of our faith. And I really am so. This is actually my last View because I'm leaving the CLF.
I didn't even know that.
You can have the special bald guy chair. You know?
We need another bald intern.
I am so happy to be on The View, and I agree with you. Thank you for everything you said. It's just we have such conversations in depth that folks can tap into, and we don't really have the opportunity to do that. And thank you for having a religious educator.
Oh my God, you're the backbone.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, and you know, if you want to see things differently, you need a better View.
Oh, nice.
Awesome. All right, well, thanks everybody.
Bye.
This has been a podcast of The View, brought to you by the Church of the Larger Fellowship. To find out more about the CLF, visit questformeaning.org.